Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
The Bird Show.
Anytime I've ever gone to see a psychic, it's been more of a novelty than anything else. You know, you pop in there, almost like you're testing them, like, you don't know me. And then every now and then, they'll hit you with something that they're not supposed to know, and you're like, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this, but actually you did.
Uh-huh. Paid good money for it.
Yeah. And Amber was feeling that in a huge way when she went to go see a psychic.
Yeah. So my good buddy, Dredd, the official Dredd, she actually gifted me a gift to have a psychic reading. Her spouse is a psychic and medium, and she wanted to give it to me for Christmas, but you know, it is adulting happened. We didn't get to it.
Wait a minute. So it's her spouse that's the psychic?
Yes, it's her spouse.
So she didn't have to come out of pocket for your gift.
I mean, honestly, knowing Dredd, she probably still did.
Okay.
Knowing her, you know what I mean? There's a good chance. Or at least very discounted. So she called me up and I made an appointment with a psychic, and I've never done a psychic reading before. As you guys know, I'm super into the paranormal. So this was just another drop in the bucket for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked you haven't done it before.
Right. Yeah, I've always wanted to, but I think the idea, in my mind, psychics, they just told you the future. I didn't think any deeper into that, and mm-hmm. I didn't want to know the future because I didn't want to freak out and ruin it or make it happen, depending on what they say.
Well, you're about to find out differently because you're about to freak out.
So I went to go see Miss LaCara, and she surprised me. The first thing she shared with me when I was there was that she does not believe that there is death. What she believes is that we all have energy mm-hmm. within us. And when we pass, the energy just doesn't have a body anymore. And so for her to, that's how she's able to communicate with these spirits. She can communicate with them while they're there through different ways. She actually gave me a lot of drawings on a notebook, on a piece of paper that mm-hmm. she drew. Things that she drew before we started, and also while we were doing the reading.
Well, I want to establish, because like psychics, yeah, I feel like they're going to be like fortune tellers telling you your future, but a medium is somebody mm-hmm. who can communicate with those on the other side. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking it she has those capabilities as well.
She can do both.
And so going into this, knowing that your mom has passed away, were you going in, what were the feelings going into it as far as like, were you hopeful there was going to be some communication with your mom? Were you nervous about it? Were you excited about it?
I was so many different emotions because I did not know what to expect or what she would say if she could. Ugh, I'm getting emotional already. But when she did find a way to communicate with me, it was amazing. So I want, Tommy sent you guys an email mm-hmm. and it's got all the drawings that LaCara did for me. And you'll see the drawings on here. I'm going to go ahead and play a clip as to what is on the drawings so the listeners can hear what you're saying.
Yep. And so she shows me two tombstones. I want to get into that. Some balloons, the numbers 2, 7, 3, and 1.
Okay. So we must start with the tombstones. There are two tombstones in the drawing here on the side. At first, I didn't understand what that was, but as we were talking throughout the reading, the thing is that maybe people do not know is that my uncle, my mother's brother, died 3 days after she did.
Oh wow!
And I haven't talked about uh-uh. that. And so the fact that she was able to draw two tombstones before I even told her that was very interesting. The next thing that she mentioned were the numbers.
I hope those are lottery numbers.
And it's funny that you say that because after the meeting, after the session, she says, everybody always asks me, should I play those numbers? So 2, 7, 3, and 1 are the numbers. So on here, you'll see that 7 actually has some those drawing of a balloons directly under it. That was actually July is my mother's birthday. That's the 7th month. Mm. Then we've got here number 2. Okay, so the number 2, I think, has to do with, you know, the fact that her and her brother died very close together. I think that's what that means there. 3, I think that it has to do with not just the death of my mom and her brother, but also my cat Samantha died within 1 year of my mother's death. So I lost 3 important beings to me within that year. And then we have the number 1. I believe that the number 1 has to do with the year apart between when my mom died and when my pet died.
I don't want to take away from what you have felt those numbers are, but the skeptic in me says mm-hmm. that if somebody throws 5 numbers at you, couldn't you create a connection to any 4 or 5 numbers?
I would have thought that if she hadn't have done the 2 tombstones. That kind of set me up a little bit. I believe that's what the 2 was for initially, but it still is the same thing dealing with her death and my uncle's death. So that's the only reason why I was kind of more open to it. So
if this is what's connecting with you, that's all that really matters, to be honest with you. Seriously,
It was very helpful. So the next audio that I want to play for you guys is when my mother passed, I had some things happening in my bedroom. There was some things going on. And before I even tell you what it is, I want to go ahead and let you hear this clip from that.
House spirit comes to me a lot, sometimes even before I end up having the readings, right? So that's why I was saying, even on the way here, your mom was like, make sure you mention the lights.
All right, she said, make sure that you mention the lights. So in my bedroom, I built this Amazon desk, and it comes with the LED strip lights that you put on the desk. And when I plugged them in, I actually took forever to build it. And when I plugged them in, they worked properly. But when I turned them off, they would flicker all the time. I never had a problem with these lights. It wasn't until after a week that she passed, these lights would just randomly flicker. Now, you guys know I'm a paranormal investigator. So when that happened, I decided to take that time to figure out if it was her. Mm-hmm. So I would ask like, hey, mom, if this is you, could you make the lights flicker once or twice? Or I'll ask her questions that I knew the answers to and see if she would communicate with me that way. And she did.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. How did that she make flickered. You feel?
It wasn't scary because it was her, mm-hmm. you know, and once I was able to realize that it was her, I was like, okay, this is dope. Because for those moments, it felt like my mom was still there.
Yeah.
You know, so it felt really good. So so that's what those tombstones mean. Now, I do have another clip about the tombstones that I really want you guys to hear.
Typically, when I get 2 tombstones, that means someone is buried next to someone. Or what is that?
You said 2?
Yeah.
Their ashes are right next to each other. Right above the TV. So the ashes that we're talking about, this part of the session came later. So my mom and my cat, my mom was cremated, and my cat was cremated as well. And so we actually put both of their ashes on top of the TV, so they're next to each other. So when she mentioned the tombstone the first time, I didn't understand the connection. I thought it was just my mom and my uncle because he passed 3 days after she did. And then I lost my cat, Samantha, within a year after that. And they're literally, their cremations are literally right next to each other. So that one kind of got me as well.
We can't tell.
You thank you, Kristen.
Emotions.
I needed that.
You hide your emotions so well.
I needed that. Thank you. And our last clip that I want to share with you is this. I might need you again, Kristen.
I got you.
Actually, before I even explain it, Katie, I just want you to go ahead and play that last
she
clip.
She didn't want you or your father to feel like there's anything more that you could have done. So if you're thinking like, if we had did this, or if we had listened when she said, or if she says, stop it, right? This whole thing is about releasing you from whatever guilt you have around her passing.
So the reason that one got to me is because I blame myself for so long because I knew that there was something wrong with her. And I tried to get her to go to the doctor, but she kind of lashed out at me a little bit because she knew that something was wrong. And she had seen doctors, but I just wanted her to do more. And I didn't want to upset her, so I didn't push as much as I thought I had. And there was someone in my family at the time. Those of you behind the scenes, you know exactly who I'm talking about. He blamed me, screamed it at me that it was my fault that my mother died. And it was something that I was already thinking about. So it just... it was really hard. And so having my mother reach out to me via a psychic and tell me that it's not my fault. I needed that because I blame myself. And so this experience was something that I didn't even know that I needed. And I'm just very thankful to LaCara, because I have to be honest with you, I was on the fence about this whole psychic thing. I'm always looking for other reasons as to why things occur the way that they do.
So I don't think there are coincidences here. So that reluctance that you were feeling, the fact that you got over that and actually went, I'm not sure that was your grit. I think that there was probably something pushing you in that direction so you could get closure, and I'm going to go ahead and guess it was your mom.
Yeah. I think so too. She shared way more with me than that. Those are just the clips that I was comfortable sharing with you guys on air, but it was an amazing moment. And I really do think that Cassie and Mo, and you as well, Kristen, I think you should reach out to her, because this is, there's something about her and her energy where it felt like I was talking to a sister. It felt like I knew her forever. She's such a wonderful person. And if there was ever a part of me that thought, oh, this isn't real, it left me the moment I shook her hand. There's just something about this woman, and it was amazing.
Did it feel like you some peace? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It did. After we finished up and we were just kind of sitting in her office talking just for a minute, just kind of on a cool down after the session, I realized that I felt so much better. I had, because the very next day, I went on a Thursday. So the very next day, I come to work. I had the best day at work. I slept like a baby. It was just an amazing moment.
Good. Wow. Thanks for sharing with us. Wow. Hey. What an emotional moment. I almost started crying.
Hey, and I'm proud of you for releasing that guilt. All right. It's not your fault.
Let it go. Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all.
Okay.
Whew, it's the Bert Show. Hey.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bert Show.
We're going to be talking about 911 here in a couple of different ways. But first, I want to play you this terrifying clip from a four-year-old calling 911.
I called County 911.
No, I called it. Oh, yeah. Hello?
This is Racine County 911. What's the address of the emergency?
My mommy is being mad.
Okay. What's going on?
Hello? Come and get my mommy.
Okay, what's going on?
Come get my mommy.
Do you know your
mom?
Hi, what's going on over there?
Oh, this little one got the phone, and he's four.
Okay.
And we're trying to catch him because he said he was going to call 911.
No, I got him. He's called the bully, and I just told her to come and get my mommy. And I just told her, and I just had to get my mommy, and I just told her to put her to jail. So leave me alone.
I ate his ice cream, so that's probably why he's calling 911. Okay, so you don't need police, fire, or rescue?
No.
So he calls 911 because mommy took the ice cream and he wants his mom to go to jail. But police, they have to show up.
They did.
They get a call, so they show up.
Oh, it's the police. They came for real.
Yeah, we have to just come check, make sure everything's okay.
What'd you do?
Did you call the police?
Yeah.
Why?
I told my mommy to go to jail. I didn't get ice cream.
So is that why you're upset?
Yeah, that's why I didn't get
no
ice cream.
It's so hard to yell at them?
Police, yeah.
So no calling 911 unless it's a real emergency, okay?
So, these kids are advanced, man.
Yeah, they are.
Amanda's kid, who's what, 4.5 years old, grabbed her phone the other day and she thought he was just like watching some YouTube videos or something, goes on Amazon and orders himself a kid's book.
Just market. A shout out to the police. They showed up the next day with ice cream.
Did they?
They did.
They brought ice cream with blue sprinkles on top for the kid.
How are you going to reward that kind of behavior?
I kind of thought the same thing.
Don't touch people's ice cream.
Take the kid to jail. All right, another reason you might not be able to call 911 here on the cops
is because I actually had an episode of my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, this week where the girlfriend of somebody's lover threatened to call the cops on her, which is pretty crazy. And it's actually really a story that came full circle, because in the beginning of the story, she talked about how she had just left a relationship where she had gotten cheated on. She was married for like 10 years. They had kids together and they ended up breaking up. And she always blamed the other woman. And it wasn't much longer until she would eventually become the other woman unwittingly. So the story starts off with her talking about getting on the dating apps. And I'm like, girl, I feel you. It's terrible out here. It's the worst. So she meets this guy on a dating app and she was a little hesitant to meet him. They lived in different cities. They were supposed to get back, or they were supposed to meet at some point. And finally he convinces her, he's like pursuing her, let's meet in this city and let's get together. So they start this long distance relationship and she's like, everything is going so well. Like, I really like this guy. It goes on for a year. And then all of a sudden, she gets on one of those Are We Dating the Same Guy websites, which, by the way, I got kicked off of in Atlanta.
Why?
You're not supposed to mention it, so now I can talk about it without getting kicked off because I'm already kicked out. So she gets on one of those Are We Dating the Same Guy websites, and somebody else had posted his photo in the group saying, hey, by the way, like, this guy is stepping out. So she's like, wait a second. He has multiple women, like it's not just me. And you're saying that he has a girlfriend, but you're also the girlfriend. So she talks about how she decided to stay with him. She's like, you know what? I got out of this relationship. He says that, you know, that it's a situation that he can't get out of. So they decide to stay together. So she moves forward with the relationship until the partner, the original girlfriend, finds out about their relationship. And I'm asking her because she had told me when she had gotten cheated on the first time before she got into this relationship, that she blamed the other woman more than anybody else. She didn't blame her husband. She didn't blame anybody else. She blamed the woman. And when the girlfriend of the guy she was now dating, the second guy, the exact same thing happened to her. The girlfriend was like, I'm going to call the cops on you. I'm going to find out where you work. I'm going to get you fired. And she's like, I was that woman 2, 3, 4 years ago, blaming the woman that my husband cheated on me with. And it's like, I didn't owe you anything. Your boyfriend, my husband, was the one that made the commitment to me.
I feel like that's a coping mechanism in the moment because you don't want to believe your spouse would do something that heinous to you. So it's easier to blame somebody else and to have them be held accountable.
Yes. That's great. Thank you.
Exactly.
So finally she gets to the point where she ends up deciding to leave the relationship. But I'm not going to reveal what got her there because, of course, you need to turn into the Breakup Breakdown on Burt's Pioneer Network.
But you're not allowed to do that. You can't call 911. Can't call the cops over at Infidelity. Can you?
Don't do it.
No, you can't.
Nope. Ice cream, though.
Yeah. You can over ice cream.
And get ice cream the next day because you did it.
See?
That's what that kid learned. Whenever I call 911, I get ice cream.
I get what I want.
Hey, The Burt Show.
You're not even going to take your own advice, which a couple of days ago was something like, not my dishes, not my dishwasher.
Not my sink, not my dishes. Well, I'm trying to figure out if I'm trying to be helpful or not. Like, what my heart... I'm being honest with myself. Like, is my heart really trying to be helpful or if I'm trying to call a friend out?
Do you guys use the litmus test in cases like this? Like, how much drama am I going to walk into if I get involved and then make a decision like, okay, I'm backing out of this?
All the time.
Yeah.
My answer is usually no.
And Abby's usually going right into it.
Right into it.
What had happened was I was on Instagram, as I usually am, every single day. And my new favorite feature is when you're in stories, you'll see like three like little circle avatars up at the top. So you can click on that and see what your friends have liked, right? You can see the stories your friends have liked.
Uh-huh, yep.
I never knew what that thing was all about.
I didn't know what it was there for either.
I saw it up there. I'm like, I don't want to be bothered by that.
This is going to get some boyfriends in trouble.
Very much. That's where we're going here.
Oh, funny I should mention.
That is where we're going here. So yeah, sometimes Bert's picture will be up there. It's people that you interact with a lot on Instagram. Their profiles will pop up. So Cassie's has been up there. Abby's has been up there. Your girlfriend Amanda's has been up there. And so I click on that and then it shows me every story my friends have liked.
Hey, that ain't cool.
Nope.
Yes, it is.
I had no idea.
So I'm going through, and it's funny because you can learn a lot of things, I think, about people and their character. I mean, there's some political stuff you can learn. There's some kinky stuff you can learn. Their sense of humor. Like, it's very interesting to go through and see what people are liking.
This digital footprint is tough, man.
That's why I don't like anything anymore.
Mo and I have talked about this. Once you get into a new relationship, you better go to your For You page immediately, start deleting things.
Clear it out. Got to clear it.
Because you already know if you like a post, it'll recommend that post to somebody that doesn't follow that person, and it'll tell you, like, Burt Weiss liked this post. That's why it's popping up in my feed as a recommended follow, right? So I'm going through what I do, and it's the nosy white woman in me. Seeing what other people are doing. It's like peering through the window, the blinds of the window, to see what's going on in the neighborhood. See, that's the equivalent for me.
Yes, Instagram know this about human nature, and you are the one that they have targeted.
I am. And it has worked, and it has worked well. Because now I'm going through this other algorithm that's not even really mine. It's what other people are liking, so I can see if anybody's being a pervert. And I found one!
So does your algorithm start to merge with their algorithm now?
It just depends. If I like what they're liking, or I share that, then yes. Okay. Otherwise, I'm just looking at what other people have shared. But I'm sure since I looked at it, Instagram's logging all of this. So I did that. Click those little three icons, and I'm scrolling and seeing what people have liked. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's stupid. Wow, I didn't know that about you. And then I did a double take. And you can look down at the left, and it has the person's profile photo in a little circle, like their avatar, their profile photo, and a heart showing that this is the one that they liked. That's how you can tell.
This is so dangerous.
I'm going to cover this person's face.
Oh God!
So unnecessary.
Because this is a close friend of mine. He and I don't speak on the daily, but we're friends. And he liked this post, and I'm like, "You're married with kids. Mm-mm. Like, what are you doing liking this post?" And it's not super super bad. All right. However, it's and I took a screenshot.
The worst, man.
I took a screenshot because it's these very voluptuous women.
Oh, hello.
Right?
Yeah.
Her rack is impressive.
Absolutely.
The reason why. So it's just like they're wearing like these leotards.
Oh, wow. You see?
And with these big old boobies, and they're walking and they're just bouncing. I mean, these tatas are about knocking them out. Like they're. Oh, man.
Bruising that chin.
Yes. And it's like one after another walking out, showing off these different leotards for people to buy.
Those are pretty hot.
Yeah. I like the boots.
Yeah, the boots. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking at the boots.
I was looking at the boots. That's a hot look.
Yeah.
But I'm like, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, were you going to buy this for your wife? Or no, man. So
it doesn't show you what they're scrolling through. It's only showing you what they liked. Right? Yeah,
but that's all that matters.
Okay.
They liked this. They saw this in their feed and they liked it. Or maybe they follow this naughty, I'm going to leave out name here, person on Instagram and go about liking her booby videos all the time. I don't know.
Maybe he was picturing his wife's face on this woman's body. Oh, she would look amazing in that leotard.
So I see this and I'm like this. No, you didn't. You dirty, dirty dog. Because it's one thing to watch it. It's another thing to like it.
So if you narc on this guy, you look like the psycho.
I'm not narking on him. I would never, never, never send this to his wife, narc on. He and I are close enough that I would send him the screenshot and be like, bruh, like really, like, come on.
I'll tell you what, old boy has no idea that that's even a possibility.
You probably would be helping him if you let him know.
But see, so that's why I'm like, I'm actually kind of, maybe am I looking out for him and the, you know, I'm not over here saying I'm wearing a cape saving a marriage. That's not it. But I saw that and I was just like, and I was like, can I say I was completely surprised? No. I mean, I know this dude and I know what he's into, and he's into really, really, really big boobs.
Mm. Yeah, most guys don't like that kind of thing.
No.
What a rarity he is.
So how did your confrontation with Bart go?
We know that's not the case, right. And we know it's not Bart. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Do I say something to him, or do I just let it go?
Let it go. Yeah. Don't say anything.
You look like the weirdo. If you bring it up to him, you look like the weirdo.
Absolutely.
How do I look like the weirdo when he was the one liking the giant Tata videos?
Because now he can claim that you're a stalker. You're a crazy woman.
No,
unhinged
I'm not.
Stalker woman.
I am not. I do what any normal... Hey, I do what any normal nosy white woman does. I check and see what other people are liking to see if there's a profile that I would like to follow. I don't want to follow Naughty Nancy and her bouncing tatas, but I saw that my buddy liked the video.
What, Cass?
You really want to mess with him? Are you friends with this guy's wife?
Yes.
So you should text that photo, take his name out to the wife and be like, I'm thinking of getting these boots. What do you think? And can you ask your husband
if she chose the photo to him.
Absolutely not.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Justin Baldoni's legal team is pushing back against the publicist that works for Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds that they included in their lawsuit. I love talking about Justin Baldoni getting him justice. So basically, Justin Baldoni is suing Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, and their publicist, Leslie Sloan. And basically, she's claiming that she should have no part in this lawsuit whatsoever. And he's saying, no, you actually used me as a scapegoat to be able to clear your client, Blake Lively's name. So his theory, Justin Baldoni's theory, is that basically she is using these sexual harassment claims to prove that Justin was actually the problem on set and all the bad press she was getting during the It Ends With Us press junkets for the movie. Like all of that, like none of that's her fault. Like actually she was just a woman who had been victimized on set, and Leslie Sloan played a part in that because obviously she's her publicist. And so Leslie Sloan wants out of the lawsuit. She is going to the judge being like, please dismiss me from this lawsuit. I do not deserve to be a part of this. And Justin Baldoni is saying, well, yeah, you kind of do. So basically they are trying to just continue to push that she will be able to be held accountable for this $400 million lawsuit, which, by the way, is more than Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds' net worths combined. So this could really bankrupt them unless, you know, maybe they pull out another Deadpool movie.
Do you think at some point they're just going to settle just to stop the bleeding on both sides, even though it appears that the damage is done more on her side, I think, in the court of public opinion than anything else?
At this point, this isn't a battle about money. This is a battle about public relations. And I think if they both settle, they both in some way, I feel like, are going to accept some blame for something in some way. And the only reason I feel like they're even pushing for this lawsuit to continue to go through is to prove that they are actually in the right in one way or the other. And so if they settle that, none of them end up winning in the end.
I'm to the point now that I am getting burnout, because knowing that this isn't going to happen, this court case isn't going to court for another year.
March 2026, baby.
I feel like if I were Blake and Ryan, I would try to move that up rather than dragging it out. And also what I'm noticing, because, you know, obviously Blake Lively is at the South by Southwest Film Festival with Anna Kendrick, and they're promoting Another Simple Favor. If you, and Blake Lively is, she's still very active on social media. Like she's posting her stuff or whatever, but all the comments have been disabled. Like her social media, I'm sure, is an S show right now. So just the idea of having to endure that for a whole other year for everybody involved, I'm like, can we just, I'm kind of ready for this to be done.
I'm not sure what the laws are and rules are in California and in cases like this about suing to recoup the money that you've spent on your own attorney. But I'm guessing if this thing's going to go on for another year, what are you talking about? $20 million? I mean, it's going to cost them $20 million each to defend themselves.
It's exceptionally expensive. But I actually want them to continue to keep it for another year, because I need a heads up, because I plan on tailgating outside that courtroom.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to have Bush Light. We're going to have the music playing.
You are press, girl. You are the entertainment buzz reporter for the Burt Show.
Right.
Oh, you need to be out there with a mic.
Do you think I can sit in the courtroom?
Sure.
Taking notes?
Sure.
Maybe out there interviewing the peoples, getting their takes, Team Justin or Team Blake?
Yeah. Hey, Blake Lively, how did you feel when you accused Justin Baldoni of something I don't believe he did? Well, speaking of one of the other co-stars from It Ends With Us, Brendan Sklenar, he is starring in a new film for another book that I really love called The Housemaid. And he's starring in it with an actress named Sydney Sweeney. Now, you would probably best know Sydney Sweeney as the blonde girl from Euphoria that cries a lot and usually has a big push-up bra on. So Sydney Sweeney has gotten a lot of press this recently because a lot of people think there might be trouble in paradise with her fiance. So she's engaged to some dude named Jonathan DeVino, and they've actually delayed their wedding that was supposed to be in May. On top of that, she has been videoed on TikTok with her co-star from The Housemaid, Brandon Sklenar, where they're looking very affectionate. Mm. He like puts her on his shoulder and they're laughing and being very touchy-feely. And then on top of that, reports have come out that she's been staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel since mid-February without her fiance, going out on lots of girls' nights and doing all the things that typically a engaged woman wouldn't do. You know, being viewed with her co-star in a more cozy light. So it's not looking good for her.
So she's staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, but mm-hmm. she lives in LA?
But she lives in LA. Well, we could assume maybe she lived with her fiance and now there's trouble in paradise. So now she has checked into the Beverly Hills Hotel full time.
If you're staying for a lot, if you have a long-term stay at a hotel in the city where you live, mm-hmm. I feel like the only thing that can can scream is trouble in paradise.
I almost wonder because they kind of did this with Anyone But You, that rom-com she did with Glenn Powell. And they were really playing into the fact that they had off-screen chemistry. Maybe there was a romance. But her fiance was producing the film. So everyone was kind of like, well, maybe not. Maybe they're just playing into it. So I almost wonder if her PR team is like, let's make it look like you and your co-star for this upcoming film have something going on. We'll get you out of your house so people think that there's some legitimacy to it so that they can really play up this possible romance so that when the movie comes out, people want to see some actual chemistry happen. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I might have yet another situation this morning of no good deed going unpunished. Dang, I hate that saying.
Me too. But it applies so often. And this argument, I guess you can say, that these two friends are having is relatable to me because I don't know if y'all go through this, but I feel like I always find myself in situations, not always, but sometime where, let's say somebody says to you, hey, go get yourself something nice, and it's on me. Like, I need a limit, because mm-hmm. I don't know what the limit is.
Well, also, you're going to downplay it.
Absolutely.
So you wouldn't get something, you're going to get something less nice than more nice because they offered, and that it never fails, that you're going to downplay it.
That's how I always feel when people say, oh, let's go grab dinner, and it's on me. I'm like, okay, so what do you mean it's on you? Is it like on you? Right. Or are we going to Panera?
Right. Because I don't want to be rude, but at the same time, I don't know if this offer is coming back. So mm-hmm. what are you supposed to really do?
Yeah, well, that's why, like, when we went out to dinner in Orlando, I don't tell you in the beginning. I just grab the check and pay it at the end. That way everybody gets what they want.
Oh, yeah. And that was great because we got dessert, too.
Yeah.
We got fondue. That was fondue on Kristen.
And it was good.
It was good.
So these two friends, who are really good friends, are at an odds over a similar situation when it comes to food. And it all started because one of them had a procedure that she was worried about, and I guess it's a pretty painful procedure for women, so she needed some mutual support. So she reached out to her really good friend and said, would you come with me? And I guess for weeks, that was the plan. But something came up towards the when the procedure was about to happen, to where the friend could no longer make it, something with work. It was an obligation. It wasn't like she blew her off. She genuinely just could not make it anymore. So she felt really bad about it, obviously, and told her, listen, go do what you got to do. Hopefully you can find somebody else to go with you. But either way, whatever you want to eat when it's all said and done is on me. That was her offer.
Okay.
So, again, that's a situation where I would feel like, all right, what exactly does that mean? Plus, it feels like it's an offer of you trying to make up for the fact that you were supposed to be there to hold me down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's kind of the way that she received it and she was taking it. So now,
and this is her, let's go ahead and establish, this is her fault for putting the gift in her friend's hand and mm-hmm. letting her decide. She just could have sent a beautiful bouquet of flowers for her when she got home. She could have sent some Tiff treats or something like that. Like, she could have done something on her own, but no, she told her, she gave the opportunity for her friend to choose what she felt was a good balance of her not being there and making it up to me.
100%. And I'd much rather you just send me the money. Like, just say, here's $50, go get you something to eat, right? Something like that.
Because then there's a cap on it. You know how much you can spend.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
She gives her no cap. Now, before I say what she decided to spend. I'm curious. If y'all were in this situation, your friend said, "I'm sorry, I can't be there. Go get you something to eat." Would you cap it? What would you cap it?
So, are we going out to dinner together?
No.
Or you're just like, as a person who is sick and laid up, I'm going to deliver something to your house for you to grub on.
Right. But she says, you order it, you get it delivered, whatever your favorite food is, I'll take care of it.
All right. I'm understanding the parameters.
$2,500.
Just kidding.
Honestly, I'm ordering whatever I want, but I'm not sending the receipt. Like, I'm just not going to take advantage of that gift because there's no parameters and you're not with me. But my general rule of thumb is if I'm out to dinner with someone who's paying, I never order anything above what I would pay. So I need to be able to cover my meal at the end of the night, just in case. But also, I feel as then I'm not taking advantage of someone because I'm ordering exactly what I would order if I were paying.
That's the decent thing to do. I mean, that's common sense right there. Right?
Is it? Yes. I feel like a lot of people don't get that.
No, I feel the same way. It's the golden rule of DoorDash. I'm like, thou shalt not order more than you wouldn't order for yourself. So for me, if I'm laying up in bed, it sounds like maybe she got like a pap smear or an IUD or something. She's not going to be like, she's not going to be mobile. So she needs someone to be able to drop it off. So you got to add like, what?
A pap smear to took right you out?
I don't know. Right
you laid out because of a pap smear. IUD, sure.
It depends. Maybe it was her first one. Maybe she waited until she was 35.
Maybe it's just maybe it's a rookie doctor, didn't know what they were doing. First day on the job.
Why are you still swabbing? They do like the extra large speculum. That was the BBC speculum. Why'd you go for that one? So maybe she can't move. She got to have someone bring it to her. She got to add the tip. They got to have like, you know, they got to buzz up to her to her apartment. Those fees catch you, man. Those fees catch you. I'm going to go like somewhere between 50 and 75.
Okay.
I don't know what that number is, but I'd use the same calculation that Cassie is. What I would normally spend on myself is what I would continue to do.
Like, no, for some reason, I'm like 45. For myself, for one meal, if you're DoorDashing or Uber eating it or whatever, because the fees can be astronomical. I got Five Guys delivered to my house once because I was so lazy. Never again.
How much was it?
The most expensive burger and fries I've ever gotten.
Yep. And it's always cold and the fries are soggy. It's never the same.
45. I would cap it at 45.
So my number was 50. That's what I had in my head. Because I've DoorDashed quite a bit and it gets expensive.
It does.
It really does. So I'm thinking, all right, about $50 is cool. It turns out that she wanted Red Lobster. and after her
them Cheddar Bay biscuits, baby.
It's understandable.
Yeah. The total was about $115.
Okay. At Red Lobster?
At Red Lobster. I don't know what she ordered.
The Red Lobster, apparently.
When you do the crab legs ain't cheap at Red Lobster.
Really?
No.
She got whatever she wanted. The friend is now pissed because she feels like, who does that? Who would spend over $100 if I say, go get yourself something nice? The other friend feels like you didn't give me a limit. Like, she doesn't feel like she did anything wrong.
I think it just depends on the procedure. If it's a pap smear, whatever. give me my $125. That thing sucks.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Forget about what you know about traditional quote-unquote love languages. What are those love languages?
There's five of them, and I can't remember who wrote the book on them, but there's one that's like acts of service and words of affirmation and physical touch and all the things that you typically expect when it comes to a relationship, but turns out there's about 1,000 more.
We're going to give a shout-out to Gary Chapman, who wrote that book.
Shout-out Gary Chapman.
Love languages.
Our King Gary Chapman. Well, this guy named Paul Conway, what you know about Paul Conway on TikTok, who says that actually you may have your own unique love language that Gary Chapman hasn't discovered yet.
These are the other love languages. Words of sarcasm, matching your freak, sending reels, fighting, forgetting scheduled events, leaving a party early together, being in on the bit, descending into Hades for you, making a playlist, yearning, shutting up, spotting on bench, being sassy, giving you their pickles, taking your pickles, turning back to look at you in the underworld and then losing you forever.
Or like any main character in one of our fantasy novels, making a deal with a high fae in order to release you from whatever Tamlin was a part of under the mountain. Why did you do that again? We're talking about our ACOTAR series. But I was wondering, do you guys have a love language in your relationship that you feel like your partner knows about you?
I love these unique ones. The way you laughed at shut up, I feel like that's yours
now. It's on the board.
So, my unique love language is sending and receiving gifts and text messages. I love a good gift combo, like no words, just gifts. Unique compliments. Somebody complimented just a small, innocuous part of my body. And I was like, that was a lovely compliment. Aww. That was so nice. Thank you.
getting the hell out of my way when I'm in the fast lane. I don't have to tailgate you, but you just automatically just get right over so I can just right past you. And then my greatest love language of all, hating somebody because I hate them.
Yes.
Mine will go past hate. Sometimes it's loathing in traffic. I was loathing people yet.
No, if you and I, if we're tight and somebody has done me wrong, but they haven't done you wrong, so technically you shouldn't have anything against them, but you know what they did to me and it's fired you up so much that you hate them too, and you stand me because of them, boom! You have my undying love.
Mine might be appreciation, but it has to do with traffic. Just like when I let you merge, just give me the little like, hey, hey, thank you. That little wave. That
the
little,
wave is your love language?
Little, that's it. Just a little appreciation. Hey. And then when I get off the elevator, just get out the way. Let me get off first. I'm not one that asks for a lot.
These don't sound like love languages. They sound like gripes.
My love. Tomato. Yeah. What do you got?
I did mine more based off of like couples. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what we was doing. Yep. So roast sessions. You got to be able to laugh and roast. Joke with me. I love to have roast sessions. Introvertedness and peace and quiet. That is a love language of mine. You got to know when it's time for me to just be my introverted self and stay to myself. I am not messy. I don't like drama, and we don't agree on that. So, you got to know. And for me, this became one as I started traveling because I realized I think I travel a bit different than most people travel. In my past relationships, traveling was always like, we have to be busy and go, see everything, do everything.
Mm.
And then I would get back from the vacation and feel like I need another vacation.
Yeah.
So you got to know how to travel, and we get to see a couple things. But if we sit by the pool all day, like that's my love language when I'm on vacation.
Yeah, if I'm being honest in my relationship, it's probably knowing when to give me space and not give me a hard time about it. Just don't make me feel guilty about it. Like, this doesn't have anything to do with you. This is just me wanting a little space.
I love this so much because I was literally, as Mo was talking, you and I were on the same wavelength because I'm like, ooh, I'm going to add mine. Leaving me the hell alone.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
For me, it's the consideration of my quirks. And Kristen actually did this the other day for me. So we went to Pilates and I had to bring her the sticky socks that you have to wear for the reformer so you don't slip and slide. And she passes them back to me. She's like, do you want me to wash them? But I know you use a special detergent so I can just give them right back to you. And I was like, she remembered? I'm like, she knows I have eczema, so I can't use anything with any kind of weird dyes or fragrances.
Because the polite thing to do after somebody lets you borrow socks and you wear them during a workout session is for you to take them home, wash them, and then give them back. However, I know my girl is particular about her detergent, so I gave her the option. You want me to wash these, or would you like to just raw dog my nasty socks right now?
I got very sensitive skin. I got a very specific detergent. For me, it's being on time. I'm always like early to dinner reservations, you show up late to the dinner reservation, feel very disrespected. And then on top of that, letting me make the dinner reservation. For me, that's the one thing that I'm very different from most women. A lot of women like for the guy to make the reservation. No, my love language is getting to go on Yelp, look at the photos, and pick the perfect curated restaurant for our night out.
Okay, mine would that sparked a memory. Mine would be just the opposite. When we're going to go on vacation, get out the way, let me handle it.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And also, like, when I get moody, just know that, like, don't judge me. I'm just having a little snotty moment. I'm just being a little brat right now.
Yeah,
I'm going to be loved after that, right?
Get it. The Burt Show.
All right, so I've got a little bit of a heavy heart today. I've been faking it through the show for a little bit. So a radio friend and also, I would say, a mentor, somebody I found very inspirational in radio. Some of you guys that are a little bit older might know the name Bob Rivers. He used to do parody songs back in the day, like Twisted Christmas song. He used to come out with albums, and it was really big in the 80s to do like these parody songs. And he was just the sweetest, nicest guy. He had a syndicated radio show. He was in Baltimore or Seattle, but none of that is... It even matters.
Yeah, he's a Seattle radio icon.
Yeah, just a Hall of Famer also. And just the nicest freaking guy. And I remember being intimidated for a long time going to conventions because he was sort of in the radio class right before me. Him and the Jeff and Jerrs out of San Diego, my mentor, Kid Craddock, were all sort of part of that group that us younger, quote-unquote, guys at the time were looking up to. And I was so intimidated to meet him for years and years and years. And finally, when I had enough guts, when we all went out to dinner one night, because these guys used to take us all out, the young guys out, we're going to show you the ropes, man, but in a really, really cool way.
Now you do that.
Now I try to do it, right? So, and that's kind of our pass it along in radio. But from him, man... When I finally sat down with him, he was just the kindest human being. And I say this not in a way that is condescending in a way that you're supposed to honor the dead, but truly from the bottom of my heart, just the nicest individual that was there for everybody. Anytime you needed anything, or I would get a random text or a call from him recently when he wasn't doing radio anymore, just saying, hey, want to let you know I was listening to you guys on Spotify and what you guys are doing is spot on. I am listening to you guys every day. And he came from the school of kind of what we do. Yeah, there were parody songs, but there was a lot of real talk also. And he's like, you know, I'm listening to the radio now and I don't hear this much and it's so refreshing. And they would just come out of nowhere. And that's the kind of guy he was, right? And recently when we were all at the convention in San Diego and we had our wild night out and I came into the lobby all sorts of loopy. There are a lot of things that are legal in California. and we were all just about wrapping it up. Right before I got to the elevator, there was Bob Rivers, in a corner of the lobby, and me and Bill Michaels, another guy that came up sort of in my generation of radio that's still doing radio in Iowa. He's a great guy, too. We saw Bob, and there he was with his cane, and we all both knew that he was suffering from cancer, but he was going to conventions just to sort of drop the nuggets that he still could. And I think people that were younger than Bill and I might not known of Bob Rivers or who he was. But when we saw him in that lobby by himself with his cane, just seemingly really content, like he didn't even care anybody was coming up, Bill and I sat down with him. And Bill and I are probably, I mean, we got a lot of miles on us. So we're probably looking at the end of our careers. And his came to an end a few years ago when he decided to retire. And he wasn't feeling real great. And he was working his way through his illness. And this guy, this is so Bob Rivers, that got out of radio and decided, you know what? I just need some purpose in my life. So he moved away from Seattle and away from Baltimore, where he was recognized all over the place. He was a local celebrity, the local celebrity. So he wanted to get away from all that, which I've told you guys when I'm looking at my career and I'm looking at the end, my biggest fear is walking away from the adulation of being known locally, you know, the ego part of it. Like, this is all I've ever known is Burt Show Burt. So if I'm going to walk away from it, can I really do that? And Bill, I think, is sort of in the same spot, maybe a year or two away. But we sat down, and what he did was he moved from Seattle and said, I knew I needed some purpose, and I needed to go somewhere where I wasn't recognized at all. And he said he absolutely loved it, because outside of the adulation was he found some purpose. You know what this guy's purpose was? He moved to Vermont and started making syrup. That was it, man.
Really?
That's where his heart was.
Wow.
He didn't want to put his name on this syrup. He didn't want to be known for it. He just wanted to be the guy down the street that was making pancake syrup.
Wow.
Do you know what else he did? Because I've been reading some articles about him, because he was. There's a lot of ego in radio.
Sure.
And Bob Rivers did not have ego.
Yeah.
He was one of the, and he was such a phenomenal host, and was always, like Bert said, so gracious and so kind. But as I'm reading and learning more about him, after he retired, he taught radio classes at Green River College. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to work closely with student broadcasters and try to guide them. And that was just something else that he wanted to do after he retired.
I think when you get to a certain age, and you guys luckily aren't there yet, when you have contemporaries pass away, and maybe not even contemporaries, you know, we've got some Burt's Big Adventure kids that have passed away recently also. And you get to a certain age and you just start to take inventory of really what's important in your life. And I wish I could have done this years and years and years ago, because we are surrounded by so much negativity that can get to us and so much opinion that can really get to us, that having somebody that you look up to so much that is a contemporary really makes you realize like what's important and what's not. And you know what? Most of it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Like 90% of it's just not important. You know what's important is like leaving your hometown and going somewhere where they don't know you and making syrup for people you'll never meet. You know?
That's beautiful.
That's kind of the important stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So Bob Rivers will be missed, and he leaves a wake of goodness behind him. It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books.
Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.